League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So, Farrell on the bench with you. The situation with the driver today, Bubba Wallace. Blaney won that race, by an inch. The end of that race was crazy. I actually saw the end of it. The last five laps, they had like a major crash with Jimmy Johnson, got hit by Harvick and bump and run. He knocked him out of the race. And I mean, to tell you, Johnson was hauling ass. He had a chance to win that race. He was right there with a shot. And then Harvick bumped him out, and then Harvick didn't get it done either. Blaney stole it, and it was going to be just a crazy, wild ending. And he ended up winning the race or whatever. And it's like his fourth win in NASCAR, and he's won at Dega before. He won there in the fall, so he's won there twice now at Dega. So great job by him. But the point is the Bubba Wallace thing. So they're running with this story how all the drivers – pushed his car up to the front of the race at the beginning of the race and made him like the pole sitter or whatever. And all the teams and drivers walked with him and he was all teary eyed and everything else. And it was a very touching moment and everybody's opinions of it. Here's my point though, is that it's amazing to me that's the story instead of the fact that they're not like really dealing with the fact that some dude left a noose in his garage, in his car. I mean, honestly, right? Like, that's where they found it, right? In the garage mafia, like in his car?
In the garage bay for his team. That's right where it was, in the garage bay.
Well, there you go. So what's the difference? Like, that's the story. That's the real story, is that, they're talking about all the solidarity and everybody's behind him and they're all supporting him and he was crying and everything else. Man, the real story is some lunatic, idiot, moron left that noose, in his car. That's just crazy. They have not made advancements that they keep bragging about and all their improvements in NASCAR. It's still racist as hell.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh, All right, Pharrell and Events, Kevin Walsh, KWR buddy, the host of Betting Around the Rim on weekends on Sports Grid. Always love hooking up with KW when I'm in the city, and even on at the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands. He's always cool. Hey, KW, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing good, Scotty. How's everything treating you, man?
Chilling, bro. Hey, so if it makes you feel any better, I know you know I'm always telling you I'm balling. So I'm going. Mm-hmm. I've been balling right out in the like 90 degree heat on weekends. I've been playing in a couple different parks, like outdoor ball, right? And then so I've only been in one fight. I was in a really good fight. And the guy can actually play, right? He's a decent shooter for sure. The guy can hit shots. He's like one of those guys. You can't leave him open. He'll bury it. But he's fat, right? So I told him he was a fat ass, and I was like, you can't guard me. So you just stand here and shoot your threes and keep hitting them, and just know that you'll never stop me, fat ass. And then that started everything. And then I made up with him because everybody made me. They told me you gotta be nice. And I think they were right, because in this climate we're in, it's good to be nice. So I told him I was out of line. I shouldn't have called him a fat ass, even though he was one. And then I dropped 1,000 on him when I played with him the second time after I said I was out of line. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he likes me too much, but you'll have that. Now, tomorrow I'm going to play with a whole new crew. Here's McTavish getting in a fight, 1986. They're throwing gloves and throwing fists. Mm-hmm. I'm watching old school hockey here, KW. So tomorrow I'm going to play with a bunch of really good players, right? Same thing, but they're playing at 7 a.m. I got to leave here at like 6:30, roll over to this outdoor hood and play ball because it's supposed to be 90 tomorrow. So they're going to try to get it in early, like 7 a.m. to 8:30. So I'm running, and I was told that everyone's really good. And, I like playing. The better they are, the better it is what I say. But I just wanted you to know, as you love basketball, I'm balling like crazy. Yeah, yeah. And I don't even know if I worry about the COVID, even though guys are mauling me, scratching me, tackling me, banging against me. And then I played with this one brother. He was like, he literally was close to 300 pounds, but my boy could play like tractor trailer. And I kept feeding him inside, and he was finishing. And we do the jump in the air, hit chests, but we were doing shoulder, shoulder. And my boy was 300 at least, and when he hit me, like he meant business, like a bear. And we didn't worry about the COVID, but I played with so many people, I'm probably getting devoured with it as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if you mask up, you might be all right. Worst case scenario, you have to set up in the backyard, keep the jumper tight, but it's good to know you're still out there working on it, just in case we ever get this matchup with Smitty. All I ever asked for was a front row seat.
Right. I keep telling you, that's something that you want just to drift away like a fart. They want like that to just go away. It's because if it comes back in the room, it's going to rear its ugly head. You don't want me to take on little Smitty. It's just not going to go well for him. I keep telling you, it's just not. Mafia already knows what's going to happen. We've been down this road. It is not going to go well. The guy could be the greatest player in the world. I'm still going to bang him down low and finish. I mean, at will. Ad nauseum, finger rolls until his mother starts making me scrambled eggs. That's what's going to happen. Like, I'll make so many buckets that his mom will start making me omelets.
Listen, I mean, I'm not doubting it. It says, Scott, just, again, I've only known you for a little while, but I just, not someone that I expect to let Smitty get away with the talk that he's been delivering. And the thing is, I know that both of you will probably let it go in separate ways, but that's why I'm here to instigate. To make sure that we get that game, whenever it might be.
Mafia is the final say in all this. Mafia already knows what I do to little dudes. just Mafia is 6'5", 40. You think I mean, Mafia, if there's one thing you and I don't mess around with, is little dudes like trying to stop us. It's just not happening. It's not happening. I mean, it is not happening. The guy might score a couple buckets or whatever, but I'm going to score 500.
You're gonna make sure he earns those buckets. You're gonna make him pay in pain.
I make big guys suffer, let alone little dudes. I make big guys hate me. This guy told me tomorrow, he said, this is a tryout for you. I said, bro, you already know what I'm bringing. I'm bringing it all. It's all coming out. And so tomorrow your friends aren't going to like me either because I'm going to just deal on them. I'm going to be like a dealer in Vegas at the poker table. I'm going to be dealing. So let me ask you a question.
New LeBrons to give him the business in.
Oh, did you see those things? That is better than sex.
Those things are beautiful. Those things are beautiful, man.
You know what's weird, KW, is that I have the purple ones too. Like I got the Laker ones, like the dark purple and yellow Laker ones, the LeBrons, and they're so bad. Like honestly, the purple ones with the white ones, I mean, literally they could be lovers. They could have triplets. Those shoes. End up lovers and have triplets. That's how nice they are. I mean, and the purple ones, I've had them. I've worn them on the court a few times, but the white ones are like virgins. They're virgins. They're just getting married, virgin. Like it's all happening. And then the purple ones are going to be like, what's up, baby? And then it's all on. And then triplets we're looking at because I have those. Those shoes are so nice, KW. I can't even wear them. I won't even try them on. I won't even ever wear them. That's right. All right, so let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a bunch of basketball questions. So we're just getting started. Sometimes I waste an entire segment talking about gibberish until I get down and in the middle of the trenches with you. So today I heard Ariza's not playing. I'm like, doesn't matter. He don't matter anymore, right? Like, he doesn't matter anymore. Like, all these guys saying that they're not going to go or whatever. Like, that doesn't faze me. Someone said it best today. Like, I think Mafia or somebody said, like, we just want to see the heavies. I want to see the big boys come out. Mm-hmm. This whole tournament, KW, to me, is about the heavyweights. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to the heavyweights. You know, Lakers, Clippers, and you're going to have the Bucks over there and probably, you know, like Toronto or Philly, someone like that. Or, you know, Philly never wins on a road. Maybe it's Boston. I don't even barely respect them. But, you know, Toronto maybe and Milwaukee. Who knows? But I want to see the heavies. I don't care about all these other garbage-ass teams. I know everyone wants to watch Zion. You can have that, too. I want to watch the heavies.
Listen, you're totally right. I mean, they could have easily just sent the top four seeds from each of these conferences if they wanted to, and people would have been fine. We're looking to get this Lakers Clippers conference finals, and then, you know, whichever one of those teams versus the Bucks. Now, I still think that the lead up to get there is going to be awesome. I think that these races for the eighth seed is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch Chris Paul back in a meaningful playoff spot. See if this Sixers team can stop tripping over their own feet. You know, what do the Miami Heat have to bring? I think it's going to be a blast. But look, if it comes down to it, we're here. There's been three teams that have kind of dominated the conversation all year long. If you want to put Toronto in there as a fourth, I totally respect that. But, you know, and those are the four big boys for a reason.
Do you think, like, the only thing I like watching with Toronto anymore, and I respectfully say this, I like Pascal's game. I think he's an absolute freak of nature, and he's the epitome of a guy that literally at the beginning of his career till this point right now has worked his ass off to get that good. Like, he came in, nobody knew him. You know, here's this guy from halfway around the world. No one had ever heard of him. Talk about a guy that busted his ass to become a great player. That guy worked his ass off and has turned into an unstoppable force on that team. I mean, if I'm Toronto, it's real simple. I think they realize that, too. Lowry and everybody, just give Pascal Siakam the rock. I got 20 seconds.
Pascal Siakam is no joke. Absolutely. I'll just tell you this. I'm excited to see what Kyle Lowry brings to the table. People feel like with the ring, he shuck off some of that playoff feelings towards him. I want to see if it's legit and if he can still carry that team without Kawhi.
All right, so we'll come back with KW and get into some more NBA talk and college rack a little bit. And I want to talk about Kyrie for a few minutes. Brother.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast.
I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, it's Pharrell on the bench. I'm talking to KW Kevin Walsh. You see him on Sports Grid a lot. He's a badass. He does the great show, Bending Around the Rim. I love that show. When I first started at Sports Grid recently in the last several months, one of the first things I did was I liked the basketball stuff, the basketball shows. And then I worked with KW at the 34th Street Studios in the middle of it all in Manhattan, and he's a cool cat. And then I had him on the show a lot, and then all of those shows are keepers. I like to call them keepers because they were so funny that you have to hear them and actually experience them to believe it. It's almost like you were on mushrooms or something because we laughed so hard. We literally laughed so hard a few times. We didn't even like do a show. We laughed for like 10, 12 minutes straight where we never talked. We were laughing so hard, we were crying. I have no idea what happened, but it made you laugh one or two many times. And then it turned into these rambunctious, like, I don't know, like 10 minute sessions of laughter, which I think are keeper shows.
It was my favorite. I mean, I'm literally crying. There was one, it's one of my favorite things I've ever been a part of at the Sports Grid. But we're going to break. I think we got, you know, whether it was Mafia or Carver counting us out. And we both, you know, we wear our glasses and we take our glasses off and they're just wiping our eyes with tears, man. It's just like, yeah, it's been a blast. It's I love hanging out with you guys here on the show.
Yeah, man. All right. So I got a lot of questions I want to ask you about. Do you think Kyrie is painful? Like, I don't really care about, you know, he's trying to change the world and change. He wants his own league, evidently, which is, I thought that was hilarious. Like the whole premise of it, I thought was fun. But do you like think, I even read, did you see, I don't know if you read that. It was, what's his name? The guy in the Daily News, Lupica or something. And I was reading a paper Sunday and I'm reading it. I'm like, let me read this guy's article. See what I think of it. And then I'm reading, he's writing about Kyrie Irving or something like that. Like he'll have two more jobs in the NBA. He's not even done leaving teams. Do you think that's true that he'll play for the Nets and then two more teams? Or do you think he'll be here for a while? And do you think overall he's painful? Like all of his drama that goes on off the court for a guy that's not even playing?
You know, Kyrie's always been an interesting one. It always stuck with me, but on an old Road Tripping podcast, the one that Channing and RJ used to do back when they were with the Cavs, Kyrie talked about how all of his friends used to tell him that they expect him to retire early, leave the game. And he even like would talk about this idea of like creating his own society. Like if he could build his own little town and kind of just operate with his family and his friends in this bubble. So I haven't been surprised. I don't know if Kyrie maybe even plays past this Nets contract. It wouldn't entirely surprise me. And I think just sometimes Kyrie, he goes one step too far and it cuts off the importance of his message. I mean, we're talking about a guy that is a vice president for the NBAPA. Like him speaking up on these issues is important. Whether he's going to the bubble or not, it's legitimately a part of his job. Where I think he starts to lose people, though, is when you go, oh, guys, we can up and move and start our own league. Like, no, that's not an easy thing to do. Like, that's a really, really hard asking price. And then we spend, unfortunately, more time talking about Kyrie's idea to open a new league than the good that he's actually provided and, you know, kind of given some more guys a voice, because that's been reported. You know, guys like Mo Bamba from the Orlando Magic just felt like some players maybe weren't being heard enough when it came to the restart. And as a vice president for the NBAPA, I think Kyrie did well. Again, I understand why some people aren't in love with the messenger, but ultimately, I think he's still doing his job.
So, Kevin Walsh with us. Do you think who won that, KD Perkins little battle? Because it seemed like they used to be boys, right? And then I actually, saw KD tell Perkins he was a sellout. Now, withstanding their talent level, because one guy's a stud and an absolute scoring machine, more than Gervin was in his heyday, in his ultimate prime. I think KD is better than George Gervin was, numbers-wise and everything else. Perkins sucked, right? But I got to tell you, I thought he was, fat and slow and out of shape and just easy to toast. But I thought what he said about KD, I thought he won the argument. I thought he put him in his place. When I heard that guy talk about the struggles he has in his life, his wife, his kid, they're the only blacks in the entire town. There might be two families. And then he's scared when he drops his kid off for school every day if something's going to happen to him with all these other mean kids and bullies, where his kid goes to school in this rich, town that you could call them all kinds of names, these people, and you know what those kinds of towns, you live near some of them, and when he said these things like, my wife still loves you, she used to cook you all this food, my kids still call you Uncle KD, they still love you, I still love you, I thought it humiliated him.
I think that these two have had a lot of back and forth issues constantly, and if I had to guess, I think some of it might come from Perkins has really tried to embrace this analyst role, and he's not looked to pull any punches, and maybe sometimes he has crossed lines. And we know Durant's issues with the media, and Perkins is someone that he's suited up with and gone to battle for, so he probably takes any comments by Perkins extra personal, because he probably in his mind views him as someone that should be one of us as opposed to one of them. And again, that's an Kevin Durant's mind. I think it is shameful sometimes, because those are, if you've got somebody's number, it's much easier to handle things through text than over Twitter. Who won the back and forth? You'll get people to tell you on either side till the cows come home. But this is a beef between these two that's existed now, it feels like, for a bit, and I don't think it's really going anywhere.
What do you think of Klay Thompson when he's totally ready to go. And I knew that already. Mm-hmm. I had seen all the footage. I'm sure you had as well. You're deep inside a basketball world. So you saw him training and you saw him working and everything that he was doing, like even on the court, off the court, underwater, all the rest, right? He was doing all this crazy stuff. He's good to go. Can you imagine if they get their hands on Edwards or, a Toppin or even Wiseman, if they get one of these three, if they're that lucky and they score someone that talented to add to Curry, Thompson, Green, what they already have in existence, and they're all back, allegedly healthy and moving forward, because they're all still young. I mean, I don't think any of them are old at all. I just think their bodies have been through tons of games, tons of championship runs, playoffs, finals, all the rest. It took its toll. Eventually, it tripped them up. Now they're going to come back somewhat fresh if they can stay healthy. Can you imagine what that team is going to be like with a healthy Curry, Thompson, and then add a pick that high with that kind of talent to that roster? What do you think will happen with that team?
I can't wait to see even how they're going to approach this offseason, trying to figure out, do they want to – they have the worst record in the league. It doesn't guarantee them the number one overall pick, but they've got as good as a chance as the other teams that finished in that bottom three. If they add a James Wiseman as a legitimate big, something that they haven't necessarily had throughout a lot of their runs, if they add someone like Anthony Edwards, do they try and move on from Andrew Wiggins? Do they try and pair Wiggins and a pick to make another blockbuster trade? Then we get to see pretty much Steph and Clay full-time for the first time in what's been like a while. I mean, Scotty, we're talking about the team with the worst record in the NBA. When we're starting to talk NBA futures 2020-2021 season, the Warriors will be top five, if not top three favorites, likely on the board coming off of this disastrous season. The one thing that looms for me, Scott, and I don't know where this lands for you, I'm not sure if Draymond Green isn't past that expiration date. I mean, this is a guy that was making all-star teams, had an opportunity to go out there. Like, we should have seen a massive uptick in his production. And that opportunity we didn't see him seize it. And maybe it's just someone who's going to be elevated by Steph and Clay when they return. But Draymond Green did not even look close to the same player that was a part of a team that went to, what was it, five straight NBA finals, four or five straight.
Right, no doubt. So do you think all this Knicks stuff's a formality and that it's Tibbs, or do you think Kenny Atkinson can steal that job?
Yeah, Tibbs has seemingly had the inside leg on this the entire time. I think there's a sound argument to be made for Kenny Atkinson because of the rebuild. But I think this Jason Kidd stuff is for real. We've seen this team try to make moves that, in their mind, sets them up to land the big fish free agent. They tried it with KD and Kyrie. It failed. They came to New York, wrong borough. They're thinking that Jason Kidd could be the piece that lands them Giannis. I don't think it would work. I think that Jason Kidd, you know, we saw he left. They bring Mike Budenholzer in. They're 60 wins. They're the best team in the NBA, best record in the league, back-to-back seasons. I'm not sure how good of a coach Jason Kidd is, but could I see the Knicks wanting him and thinking that that's the guy that brings them Giannis? Yes, I could.
I don't believe they'll ever even get close to getting that guy. It's a great story. I hope you're right. That would be phenomenal. I'd keel over if they got their hands on him because I'm a Knicks fan. I would love to see that. I hope and pray. I'm going to start praying to God that you're right, actually, but I just don't believe it. I just don't believe that. First of all, I don't believe Jason Kidd has that kind of juice anymore. I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I don't think anyone cares about Jason Kidd anymore. Like, he's like some kind of like magnet for free agents. I mean, if New York can't do it just with New York alone, like if you came to the Knicks, you'd be God if you were a badass in New York. It wouldn't even matter who the coach was. I just want to tell you one thing before I let you out of here. I don't know if you're too young. I say this respectfully. I got Shea Cotton on the show tomorrow. You remember that dude? I got 10 seconds. You remember that dude?
I think I might be a little too young.
That's all right, but listen, look him up. Shea Cotton, L.A. I mean, he meant business. Great stuff, KW. Good having you on the bench, brother. Thanks, I love you.
Love it, man. Right. Thank you.
There he is, KW on the bench. All right, Perel on the bench. So I wanted to go back for a second because I was watching this game and I didn't want to interrupt like KW. We were talking basketball or whatever. But if we go back to when I was talking about the Edmonton Oilers, right, I'm watching this game and we were like coming out of the break and Mafia heard me say, oh, Gretzky, score. And I saw the whole play develop, right? Like they went from the left dot over to the right dot, a saucer pass, one timer, slap shot Gretzky, boom, goal. And I mean, dude, he just scores it well. And here they are scoring another one to make it 7-4 this time. I mean, it's just one after the next. I mean, this is seven goals I've seen poured in on this team tonight. And then, I mean, there's so many guys that are incredible on this team. I mentioned a few of them, right? But I wanted to get in some more of them, like, because it's just so unbelievable watching this team. Dave Hunter just scored a goal. He didn't even, like, matter. He had 15 on that team. He didn't even, like, matter on it. But Glenn Anderson, Kevin Lowe, Grant Fear was the goalie, Craig McTavish, who I mentioned, Hunter. I mean, I don't want to disrespect him. He was still a really good player. Ace Tikkanen, Paul Coffey, who at the time was the fastest offensive defenseman in the NHL, bar none. Okay, bar none. This guy is, fifth in league scoring with 121 points that year. 121 points that year. He won a Norris Trophy. And this team, I'm not even there yet. It's like Messier, Curry. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Charlie Huddy, Randy Gregg, Kelly Buchberger, who would eventually become the Thrashers captain on my team that I did, the Thrashers, when I did their play-by-play. Also, it got Dave Semenko, Mike Krushelnicki, Jeff Bookaboom, who's and Marty McSorley, Craig Muni. McSorley obviously had a great career. People were afraid of him, scared to death. He played for the Penguins a long time. Mafia loves Bookaboom. He was Rangers ever, right? Was he not one of your favorites?
He was one of my favorites, you know, because I got into it right when they were going for the Cup in 94. So it was Leach and Bukubum as, you know, the number one defensive pair for them. And I always loved Leach. I always wish I could play like Leach when I was playing hockey, but I was built like Bukubum. So that was my playing style. I was just going to go, and if someone touched the puck, they were getting hit until I got the puck. And that's just who I wrapped my game around, was Jeff Bukubum.
Yeah, and then, like, on that team, you know, at that time, like, he didn't even matter. Like, right, like, I mean, that team was so loaded. It's not even funny. He didn't even dress in the playoffs, Bukubum. There you go. He played half the regular season game. So, you know, there he was. They didn't even play him in the playoffs. But, he, like I said, he didn't matter at that point. But he definitely mattered when he played for the Rangers. They had a lot of players, like I said. There's guys on that team with names that didn't even matter on that team because that team was so deep and so talented, and they won all those Stanley Cups. So, but watching Gretzky when he was young. What?
That's how you build a dynasty, when you get so many good guys that you can sit some and just say, you know what, you're not playing tonight. And then years later, when they get on another team, they're like one of the top players.
Yeah, I'm watching, like, you know, watching Gretzky and Messier in their prime flying down the ice. Paul Coffey was literally skating circles around people. Can you imagine if your defenseman had 121 points? I mean, the guy was absolutely out of this world. And then I want to stop all this talk because I don't really care. I wanted to tell you this other story. Like, and I would never like get into this because it's not my thing. But I was never like really, I mean, I knew him, but I never was like really close with him or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't my buddy or anything, you know? You know these stories. Do you remember we were, like, at the Garden? Didn't I, like, say hi to him or something at the Big East when Pitt was playing or something, Mafia? Huh?
Yeah, before Pitt left the Big East, you were talking to him there.
And like, but I, you know, I was nice to him and everything. I was friendly with him, and I respect him. Obviously, I think the guy had a, you know, great career. And I was always nice to him. I mean, I'm pretty cool to everybody, right? At some level, you know, and I think I am. I don't have any regrets in life of being a D to anybody, really, unless they had it coming, right? So I've been known to do that, too. Fair enough. I'll give you that. I can be a D. But here's the deal. Like, I never really, like, had, like, a relationship with him or hung out with him. Like, I have all these other people in Pittsburgh that are, you know, like him, like, in other words, famous, or, you know, they're play-by-play guys or color guys or, you know, announcers or DJs or whatever they are, right? Famous personalities, TV or otherwise, radio, you name it. But Bill Hillgrove is who I'm talking about. The guy is the legendary voice of the Pitt Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? He's been doing games, I think, for, I could be wrong, but I think it's 40 years, right? So the guy's an institution there, like, absolutely gigantic. But you have to realize now no one wants to, like, talk about it, but the guy's 80, right? Here we go again. Have I not had these conversations with you, Mafia, on the radio show and on TV, that these guys that are 80 still doing games, that there's got to be something wrong with the Earth's axis? I don't have any interest in, if I'm still doing this at 80, you know, shoot me, Mafia. I want, you know, I don't mean to be mean or anything, but I want no part of that life. I don't know. That's not my bag, right? I don't want to be doing this when I'm 80 years old. I really don't. Like, is it not? I've already done it for 35 years. I'm not suggesting that I don't like doing it at all. I'm not saying that in any capacity. I'm just saying, I've always told you, I just want to be normal and be, like, done at 65, 70 at the latest, like, maximum. Did I not tell you that, like, 5 million times?
You absolutely have. I mean, honestly, even though you love doing it, still, if you could stop right now at 55, you would, too. If you could just lay on a beach somewhere and play ball or play tennis and just hang out in the sun, you'd absolutely do it in a second.
I think you're right, and fair enough. I think you're absolutely dead right. So here's the thing. When I heard what happened to this guy, I almost fell over because I thought it was just so sad, right? Like, and it's just so pathetic. I mean, I feel horrible for the guy, but he did it. Like, it's not me. I didn't do it. He did it, right? Fair enough. At some point, right, you make national news, somebody's going to talk about it, right? I mean, if you make national headlines – which is what he did. He made national news. When is the last time you saw some, like, really announcer, frankly, where is it really that big, the news cycle now, Mavia, that some announcer in Pittsburgh or some announcer in Charlotte or some announcer in Atlanta or some announcer in Phoenix or in Minneapolis or something? I guess, I guess we heard about the one guy in Sacramento that he said white lives matter. And the next thing you know, he lost everything, right? But this guy, Hillgrove, I couldn't even believe the story, right? But I didn't think it would make national news. When's the last time you saw someone get a DUI and it became like a national story? Like, honestly, Mafia, like just a play-by-play announcer or something, wouldn't you think it would just stay local? Like, you know, Bill got a DUI and it would remain kind of in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, the last time I saw someone make national news was not like it. I mean, players, obviously, if they get DUIs, it goes bigger, it becomes national, or guys involved with the team. The last time I saw someone like with the media was kind of back a couple of years ago when we saw the guy from ESPN that stumbled into the wrong house. He wasn't even driving, but he was so drunk he went to the wrong house at the vacation spot, right?
Yeah.
Up in Aspen.
What was the guy's name?
I forget offhand.
Well, I don't even remember. That's how little he mattered. But I remember the story you were talking about. So no offense to him that I can't remember who he is or whatever. Isn't it? I'll text it to you. I don't want to say the wrong name on the air. You know what I mean? Anyway, Mavi, I'm going to do it. Tell me if I'm right. I just texted it to you. But anyway, this guy, Bill Hillgrove, has been doing it. Am I right? Is that the right name?
That was the right
Ryan
guy.
Ryan Brasilio. He's the one that ended up in someone else's house. No offense to him. I don't know the guy from Adam, so I'm not like throwing him under the bus. You know, it's the same thing. He did it. So it's like it's on his, you know, life and his record, his world. He did it. So he has to, you know, probably deal with that at some level then, now, maybe forever. People will still mention it. Who knows? Nobody wants anything like that. I don't want that to happen to anybody. It's not like I'm hoping for people to have misfortune or get tripped up or do something bad. I don't want that. I don't want it. You don't want it. Nobody wants it, right? I don't want that for anybody. But here's the thing. I know Bill Hillgrove, right? But I'm not like buddies with him. I'm not pals with him like I am Mike Lang and all these other guys. Myron Cope, I knew all these guys. I knew everyone. I know Hillgrove. But he got popped like Dewey, right? He got a DUI. And the story is unbelievable. The guy got popped. And I said this story today on the TV show, but not to this extent. He got popped. Listen to this. He crashed into a store, right? In his car, crashed into the store, got out of the car, went into the store. He got his prescription filled. And then he walked back out through the smashed window of the front of the store. He got in his car and he backed up and he drove off. And then he drove up the sidewalk, people diving out of the way, people running for their lives as the guy's driving through the parking lot and driving up on curbs and sidewalks. The guy drove home, parked his car, went in his house. He's in the kitchen and the police come storming in his house. And they're like, bro, what are you doing? And he said, I had a couple beers. What's the problem? He said, the kid at the store said it happens all the time. I'm like, what? What happens all the time? Old men drive their car, their Cadillac, through the front door of the grocery store and smash through. He smashed into the store. The entire store collapsed. He got out of his car, went in. Nobody stopped him. Nobody did anything. They just let him walk through the aisles drunk and get his prescription filled. Guy comes back, gets in his car, backs up, drives through the parking lot, drives up the sidewalk, into his driveway, up the street, up the hill in Pittsburgh. And then they arrest him in his kitchen where he acknowledges he's had a couple of beers. A couple. He blew double the legal limit. That's what we like to refer to as extreme DUI. So what's going to happen to him is, you know, that's going to be the end of the road, right? You're 80 years old. and you've had this incident happen, and they're going to say that he's got an alcohol problem now. They're going to, you know, they're going to turn it into he's too old, and he's now drunk driving up the street, driving through grocery stores. He's driving, backing out with the glass shards flying everywhere. He peels up the street, driving on sidewalks, and then ends up in his kitchen with his wife like nothing happened. You know it's over. It's over now. They're going to fire him. The Steelers have to. Pitt has to. Are they going to keep the guy on? What's he going to go to rehab or something? He's 80. It's over. What he should do is call it a day and drink scotch at home and somehow get a lawyer to get him out of this mess. Because that's what it is. He's created a gigantic mess for himself, right? And you know they're going to yank his ass off the air. I mean, will you be surprised, Mafia, if he's calling games?
I would definitely be surprised if he's in there come football season.
Mafia talked really fast there because he wants me to go to break. So he didn't want to get involved in the conversation. He just said he's really surprised. So there you go. I think the guy's doomed. And, you know, I'd love to have seen that whole thing take place. I got to be honest with you. Because I've seen it before. Remember I told you the story? I saw a chick do it into a store. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We bring in Morenci, Sports Rage, getting ready to go off here in a few minutes. So we're going to hook up with our boy, Gabe. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm ready to rage, Scotty. Ready to rage. Just enjoying the show tonight. And listen, I love the story of the Steelers play-by-play voice. If you're going to go out, man, you go out with a freaking bang, bro. And, you know, that's the way – if you're going to end your career, that's the way you end it, bro. You know what I'm saying? He went out with some style. At least no one got hurt.
I'm just glad nobody got hurt. But you got to admit, I mean, that is really going high level when you can pull in, smash through the store, go in, get your script filled, get in the car, back up over all the shards of glass, you know, in the, you know, parking lot, hit drive, you know, shred some tire, drive up the sidewalk, you know, people diving out of the way, pull into your driveway, go in the kitchen, make a Manhattan, and then the police show up at your house. And you say you had a couple of beers. Hey,
how many times has he done this without crashing through a storefront and gotten away with it over the years? The old school dudes, they like to drink the most, Scotty. You know that.
Right. So let me ask you, do you remember this? I was talking about before, Coffee, 108 points with that 86-87 Oiler team. I'm watching them play in Vancouver right now, old school on NHL Network. And I'm watching this team loaded. And I look at this guy, and I'm out of time. But do you remember when Gretzky had that 73 goals, 135 assists, 208 points? He had 100 more points than Coffee. Can you believe that?
Yeah, unbelievable. Listen, Paul Coffey, the closest thing to Bobby Orr in, you know, I think in NHL history, actually. A defenseman that would just go coast to coast, so freaking good. Those Oiler teams are so good. My uncle played with Wayne Gretzky, so we got more time, Scotty. I'll give you a good Wayne Gretzky story. When I was a kid, I met him, gave me a stick and stuff. I got a cool story about Wayne.
All right, we'll do it tomorrow on the bench. Good show tonight, Morenci. I'll see you. Game time decision in the afternoon, Sports Rage late night. See you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.